So our message for this morning is based on John chapter 1, verse 12. And I've referred to this scripture in the past, a few weeks ago. And I made a comment about it. And having commented on it, I started to think, and I assume the Holy Spirit has inspired, that there is a lot more in this scripture than one would first understand. I'll read the scripture for you. You can read along. It says, "Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." You know, many people may have asked you, and you have heard televangelists, and you have heard on radio maybe, or even bumped into somebody in a street evangelist or someone, and they would have said, "Have you accepted Christ? Have you accepted Christ?" And I said before, I have a problem with that. I have a problem with that. Because it's as if you were accepted to college. You know, to be accepted to college, you had to pass exams, you had to go through school, you had to identify your subject matter. If you were in some countries, you had to be accepted into society. Debutantes, you know, young ladies who like to dress up and be accepted into society. But you had to be a certain person at a certain level to be a debutante. If you lived in England, you're accepted into society, but really or not, because it depends on who, where you were born, at what level. Were you born a child of a lord or a lady, or were you born of a, you know, the person who worked in the coal mine? And you were accepted at a different level. You get accepted for a job. You know, if you want a job, you have to make an application, and sometimes they say yes, and sometimes they say no. Based on what? Your criteria, your experience, your skill level. You see, to be accepted in these situations, you were evaluated, you were judged, and then if you passed, you were accepted. That's not what this, you were considered worthy to be accepted. That's not what this scripture says. It doesn't say to all who did accept him. It says to all who did receive him. You see, when you invite someone into your home for a meal, do you accept them or do you receive them? Do you just say, "Oh, come on in, sit down, food's going to be on the table in a couple of minutes"? Or do you say, "Welcome into my home"? You might even give them a hug. You smile. You've asked them to come and join with you in a meal from your heart. You said, "Come on in. I want to receive you as, you know, as a friend or as part of the family. I don't want to just accept you. I want to receive you." You see, I'm going to make a bit of a bold statement here. You see, Christ did not ask that we accept him. And we are not accepted by Christ. If we would have to be accepted by Christ, then we would all have to be judged, and we wouldn't be worthy, and we wouldn't be accepted. You see, to be a child of God, it says here, you have to do two things. And I just messed this up, but maybe we can get it around. Oh, here we go. You have to receive Christ and you have to believe in him. Those are the two things. You have to receive Jesus Christ and you have to believe in him. What does it mean to receive Christ? It means to believe in his name and what his name stands for. It's putting Christ into your heart and mind. It's putting Christ into our lives. It's crowning him with your life. It is yielding, our broken and bruised and battered lives to him. Our lives of sin that are broken, battered, and bruised, we give to him. We are giving him our life, and we are asking to put God first in all things and above all things that we do. And when we can say yes to these things, when we say yes that we receive you and we believe in your name, then you are a child of God. Yeah, you're a child. You're part of the God family for eternity. This has been talked about already in our services today. And this is the part that blows my mind. Until now, you have not asked for anything. We were in our prayer, we talked about being asking. And it says, ask and you will what? You will be accepted. No, it says, ask and you will receive. You will receive Jesus Christ and your joy will be complete. What an amazing thing. Just an amazing gift this is. I know that a couple of years ago, one of my best friends, John Glover, passed away. He was not a Christian. At least he wasn't until a few days before. And I met with him and we talked. And he said to me, he said, you know, I've been a pretty good guy. I've made some mistakes. But will Christ accept me? That was his comment. Will Christ accept me? And I thought about that. And I wrote him a letter. And I'll read you part of that letter. It was a very meaningful time we spent together yesterday. Hopefully you found it helpful and encouraging. But please be assured that there is no question as to whether or not Jesus has accepted you, heard your prayer, and understands what's in your heart. It's never the issue of whether or not Jesus accepts us. It's whether or not we accept and recognize what he has done for us. I didn't understand. Yeah, amen. I didn't understand that I should have been talking about receiving, not just accepting. And John Glover, I hope, pray, has been received by Christ for eternity. And that John Glover received Christ. And I went on, and interestingly enough, in this same letter, as a result, you can count on the truth. And I quoted John 1:12. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. I said, now you're part of the God family. Welcome. Welcome. So what happens when we receive Christ? And here's this what has been spoken about, sung about, and prayed about already in this service is just incredible. Because the first item that we receive when we receive Christ is in Romans 5, verse 17. It says, for if by the trespasses or the sin of one man, death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of what? Grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in the life through him, the one man, Jesus Christ. When we receive Christ, we receive grace. Unmerited, unworthy, we receive grace. So we receive grace when we receive him. We receive mercy when we receive him. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive what? We may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Whoa! Grace and mercy. I can't accept this. This is something I receive, right? Accepting, as I've mentioned before, is like going to the restaurant, I'll accept Visa, MasterCard, or cash. No, I'm receiving Christ. I'm receiving his grace. I'm receiving his mercy when I receive Christ. I can't do that by just accepting him. Oh, and here's the biggie. This is the big one. And I hope I did it in the right way. And I didn't put it in here. Oh, here it is. When we receive Christ, we receive the Holy Spirit. You see, it says in Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. A lot of people will remember that part, repent and be baptized. But you know what goes along with repent and being baptized? You receive Christ. You receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, that power of love, that sound mind that Christ gives us when we receive the Holy Spirit. When we receive, I'm not accepting the Holy Spirit. I'm sorry. Okay, accepting says I know he exists. I receive the Holy Spirit. He's in me. He's in my mind. He's in my heart. And he should be in yours too if you have received Christ. And it says further on, it says, so those who received his word that on that day were baptized and they added 3,000 people. Whew. That's about receiving, not accepting. I must have missed something in here. I did. I put this out of sequence. And here is the last thing that happens. Well, this isn't actually the last. There are many, many, many more things that you receive when you receive Christ. Apart from grace and mercy and the Holy Spirit, you receive compassion and love. But you also receive what it says here in 1 Timothy 1:16. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy. This is Paul talking to Timothy. So that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive. Receive and believe. And in this case, receive eternal life. Amen. Amen. You see, we receive Christ into our lives, and he shares his life with us. When on earth, you know, it's very interesting, and if you go through the life of Christ, and if you're starting to go through the Bible again, and you're into the New Testament, you find that Jesus Christ likes to go out for a meal. Okay? He actually does like to eat. In fact, the first miracle was at a wedding feast. They had meals in honor of him. Lazarus had a meal in honor of Christ, in honor of Jesus. Levi, okay, the tax collector, Jesus says, invite me into your home. We're going to have a meal. Okay, receive me. Don't accept me. Receive me. All right. And then he goes on and, you know, he even eats with the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He sort of uses that as a moment to rebuke them a little bit, but Christ likes to share food with people. Those who have received, as Walter mentioned in his message, and I'll quote this, a different scripture as well, okay? It's in Revelation 19 about coming to the supper, the marriage supper. God likes, Jesus Christ likes to have us share a meal with him. Revelation 19, verse 9, the angel said, write this, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. These are the true words of God. In verse 17, it says, then I saw an angel standing in the sun, and with a loud voice he called to all the birds, says, come, gather for the great supper of God. You know the scripture of, I shall lay a table before you. I shall invite you. Christ wants us to share with him, to be part of our lives, that we receive him because he receives us. It's also at the Lord's table that we're not only to give thanks for what he has done, but also that we recognize he, the one who died on the cross for our salvation, is participating with us in a very blessed meal. When we take the Lord's table, we are receiving Christ into our lives and we are being received by him because he's here. He is participating in this, it's called communion because it's our communion with him. He is receiving us, we are receiving him. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, it says, is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation? We are partaking with him in the blood of Christ, and is not the bread that we break a participation that we are receiving the body of Christ? What's God doing when we sit down and share a meal with him? He's inviting. He's receiving. He's reminding. He's forgiving. He's demonstrating his love to all who believe, so that for we all share with him, and we will mention this when we participate in the Lord's table, we share with him one loaf and one cup of thanksgiving. You know, it's interesting. Maybe it is with the younger ones in the room here today. When mom says, go set the table, how excited are you about going and setting that table? I can tell you when I was a kid. In fact, I'll admit now, even when my wife tells me, go set the table, I'm not really excited about setting the table. Okay, it's not my favorite thing to do. Okay, and it certainly wasn't my favorite thing to do as a kid. Go set the table for dinner. And I'm sort of saying that jokingly because there's something that is very important for us to understand. You see, Jesus Christ, he sets a table before us. He sets a table, and we have to think. Okay, so when I went to go and set a table, it's a placemat and a knife and fork, and where do you put the knife and where do you put the fork and where's the napkin and the glass and you put it on? No, what did Christ have to do to set this table before us? He had to die on a cross. He had to humble himself as God and come to earth as a human being, and he set the table before us by having his body broken and his blood shed so he could set the table. So we can receive him and he can receive us. When we receive Christ, when we partake and share a meal with him, as we will in a few minutes, we receive his grace. We receive his mercy. We receive his love, his body and his blood. We receive eternal life with him, and we receive, which is so amazing, his daily presence in our lives if we're willing to talk to him during the day in prayer and whatever else. He's there. He's receiving. You know, we don't qualify to be accepted. We don't qualify to be accepted. But thanks to Christ's love, we can be and we are received. And I have to mention, you know, a Christian life sometimes has its up and downs. There are times when we feel a little less adequate than others. We have our doubts. But there's one thing that we can count on, that if at any time we feel inadequate or may have allowed our relationship with Christ to falter, he's willing and waiting to receive you again. In the book of Revelation, he says in Revelation chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, he says, I have this thing against you. He's talking to one of the churches. You've abandoned that love that you had at first. And then he tells them, look, remember there from where you have fallen. Repent and go back and do the works you did first. And I will come to you. You will be received. Isn't that amazing? Incredible. So just to finalize very quickly, before we partake, and we're going to partake in the Lord's table, Tom is going to lead us in a psalm, in a song of praise to do with remembrance and to do with the Lord's table. But before we do that, I want to leave you with just this one thought. Acceptance is not enough. Acceptance is not enough. Open your heart and let Christ come in. Receive him. Receive him. Father in heaven, we just thank you. We just praise you that by your grace, your unmerited, we just come before you and we lay ourselves before you and we ask, help us to receive you in our hearts and in our minds, that we put you first in our lives, that acceptance is just not enough. Acceptance might be recognition that you exist, but it doesn't mean that we receive you. Help us to receive you, Lord Jesus. Help us, Holy Spirit, to use the power that you have given us to bear fruit. We thank you, we praise you, and we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.